Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is January the 26th. We are on Parashat Mishpatim. We're on page 436. And we're up to Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. Hinei anochi sholeach malach lefanecha. Behold, I am sending an angel before you, lishmarcha badarech, to protect you on the way, v'lahaviyacha, and to bring you el hamakom asher hachinosi, to the place that I have prepared. The place that I have prepared is referring to Eretz Yisrael, more specifically referring to the area of the Beis Hamikdash, where the temple is. Hishama mipanav, be careful from before him. Ushma bekolo, listen to his voice. Al tamer bo, do not rebel against him. Ki lo yisal fi shachem, for he will not carry your sins. Ki shemi bekirbo, for my name is in his midst, it's within him. Ki im shamoa tishma bekolo, for if you listen to his voice, ve'asisa kol asher adaber, you do everything that I tell you, that I say, then all the good things will happen. Ve'ayavties ayavecha, I will be an enemy to your enemies, v'tartias tzorerecha, and I will give pain to those who try to pain you. Ki eilech malachim lefanecha, for my angel will go before you, v'haviyacha, he will bring you, el ho'emori v'hachiti v'aprizi v'aknani hachivi v'hayivusi, he'll bring you to all these nations, the nations that are in the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, v'hichadtiv, and I will, they say, annihilate them, as it says in the English. Do not bow down to their gods. Velosa of them, do not serve them. Velosa asekem asem, don't do as they do. Ki hares tahar same, rather you should destroy them. Vishaber tishaber matsevosehem, you shall break down their what do they say over here? There
pillars.
Okay, I was right. Va'abadatem, and you shall serve Hashem Elokeichem, Hashem your God. Uveirach es bachmachav es meimecha, and he will bless your bread and your water, v'hasirosim achalam mikirbecha, and I will remove sickness from within your midst. And the brachos go on after that. We'll pause here because that's the end of the paragraph. Now, this is a curious paragraph. It is one of the most curious paragraphs in Chumash, that Hashem here makes an announcement to the Jewish people about an angel that he's sending before the Jewish people. And not only does he talk about an angel being sent before the Jewish people, but then he talks about listening to the angel. And he kind of mixes listening to the angel and listening to me. Note, for example, in Pasuk Chaf Beis, in 22, for if you listen to his voice and do all that I say. Well, is it the angel or is it God? Kind of funny, the mixing of those two things. So this is a kind of a strange interjection here within the laws of Mishpatim. And the Mefarsh and the commentary struggle with what exactly is being said over here and why. Now we will talk about what Rashi says, but before we do that, let's first do two things. Let's first understand, at least superficially understand before we get into more depth, what's the difference between Hashem leading us himself and Hashem sending an angel to lead us. Let's discuss that. And then also, let's look historically whether it is Hashem who has been leading us or an angel that has been leading us. Let's look back in the Chumash that we've already studied together and let's see what we find. So first, let's understand the difference between Hashem leading us and an angel leading us. We've said many times that an angel is nothing but a robot. It's a highly programmed, sophisticated robot that Hashem uses to do his bidding. Angels do not have free will. Angels do exactly what Hashem tells them to do. Even when angels do a quote-unquote bad thing, where they may hurt a person, that's only because Hashem programmed the angel to do that. even when the angel will, kiviyachol, so to speak, argue with God, that's also because the angel was programmed to argue with God. The angel has no independent thought, has no independent ability to make choices. The only entity in creation other than, well, Hashem is not created, the only entity in creation that is like Hashem, that can think and make decisions on its own, is man, human beings. That's it. Nothing else can do that. Not animals, not angels, nothing. So, therefore, it should be immaterial whether Hashem is leading us or an angel is leading us, because the angel is doing what Hashem wants. So what difference does it make whether it is an angel who is doing the bidding of Hashem or Hashem himself? And you don't have to ask the question here with this particular passage. You can ask the question in general. Why does Hashem need angels? Hashem can do everything by himself. Hashem can do billions of things simultaneously. He doesn't need angels because somehow he's overloaded with the amount of work that has to be done. It's all him anyway. So what is the difference between something being done directly by Hashem and something being done by an angel that was told by Hashem to do it? That Hashem definitely does not always speak directly to a person, or for that matter, interact directly with a person, and frequently there are angels that are used instead. Now, the angel is still doing what Hashem wants,
right.
So it is still Hashem doing it. He's just sending a robot to do it instead of him directly, whatever that means. So there is an element of distance when Hashem sends an angel rather than do it himself. Now, what difference does it make? How does that manifest itself? What I mean to say is, we can say these words, distance, indirect, but what is the practical difference between an angel doing something and Hashem doing something? So let's use Herman's example. Let's say Hashem is going to communicate with one of us. So Hashem is going to communicate, somebody here is going to become a Navi or a Neviah, a prophet or a prophetess, and Hashem is going to communicate with that person. Now, Hashem could either do it directly, which means speak directly to a person. Now you understand Hashem has no mouth. Hashem has no voice. So what does it mean that Hashem speaks? Okay, that's a separate issue. And we know that Hashem will do things in ways that we can understand, even though, of course, there is no way to attribute physical attributes to Hashem. But okay, so he will speak directly to a person, like with Moshe, and other prophets also sometimes were given direct communication from Hashem, not as clear as it is with Moshe, but still direct communication from Hashem. And then sometimes Hashem will send an angel to speak to the person. For example, before Shimshon, Samson, is born, his parents get a divine revelation. But it's not Hashem, it's an angel that is sent to the parents to tell them about the great event that's going to happen to them. So he could either do it directly, or he could send an angel. Either way, it is Hashem doing it. So, what is the practical difference? You want to say?
There are no doubt several, but two that occur to me are that if the angel appears to a human being in the guise of a human, or even in the guise of an angel, it's not as overwhelming. It's not as completely overwhelming. I mean, Hashem appeared to us at Sinai, and we just fell back and died, you know, whereas the angels appear to Abraham and to Lot as people, and that's not as overwhelming, that, you know, you can interact at that level. So that's one reason. And another reason is that when they appear in their guise as humans, they can serve to allow us to perform mitzvahs for them the way Abraham did for the angels, the way Lot did for the angels. It can bring out lessons, and it can bring out, you know, how we should behave in a way that would not happen if it were Hashem himself.
Okay. So by using an angel, so you're saying two things. You're saying that it allows it to be more of a human interaction.
A tolerable, you know, absorbable interaction.
So that affects two things. First of all, we can absorb it, we can handle it, you're saying, and also that it allows us to act human, which means we can do mitzvos, we can bring in the guests, even though they're not really human beings, but they're acting as if they're human beings or appearing as human beings, so we can still do that within the context of the revelation. You know, the Medrash tells us that when we got the Torah at Har Sinai, Hashem held the mountain over our heads. And he said, either you accept the Torah or you'll be buried here. He forced us into it. Some of the commentaries say it's not literally true that there was a mountain over our heads, but rather the fact that we had it in a direct revelation from Hashem, we had no choice. There is no, you're so overwhelmed with the truth when you are facing Hashem. You're not really facing Hashem, but whatever it is that a human being can face, that is somehow the manifestation of Hashem, you're so overwhelmed with the truth, it's impossible for anybody to think differently, to consider any other angle, any other opinion. But you're suggesting that if it's an angel, well, then already a person does still have their ability to think and perhaps to not accept it. And therefore, we are acting with our free will when we do accept. Okay?
Yeah. I think it also shows Hashem's love for his people. It also shows the madrega of the Jews at this point, because it's right after Matan Torah, and we're very high level, high madrega. So just like Yaakov, he had angels that followed him in Eretz Yisrael. When he left Canaan, the other different angels went out mechutz la'aretz with him. So I think number one is Hashem shows his love for us by saying the angels. I think another reason is that should we stray, should we do an aveira, the consequences won't be so severe either.
Okay. So we're going to examine that, but whether the consequences are worse or better.
Do we know what form an angel takes?
So an angel could appear to a person as a human being, or as an angel. It does happen. Yechezkel saw angels in the guise of angels, and it was a scary experience. It was terrifying. Because angels in their angelic form, whatever that is, remember they're not physical, but they are spiritual, mm-hmm. in their angelic form, is an awesome sight. It's a terrifying sight. Daniel saw angels, and it was terrifying. They're not beings that we can naturally interact with.
But Hagar also angels didn't terrify
yes,
her.
Yes,
Hagar,
but she was used to them from...
She was seeing,
yeah,
living the houses
yeah,
of Abraham.
Yeah,
Hagar
yeah,
also
yeah.
saw angels.
Now, let's try to picture what the difference is between direct interaction and indirect interaction with human beings. Now, the difficulty in doing this is that if you want to speak to me and you send an agent instead... You want to give me a message, and rather than you coming to speak to me, you send someone to speak to me on your behalf. The person who's coming to speak to me is a human being, and therefore is as faithful as they're going to try to be to the message that you're delivering. There's always going to be something that's going to include their personality. So where your message may have been soft and pleasant, Well, they may try to deliver the message in a soft and pleasant manner, but after all, they have their own personality, their own manner of speaking, and it may come out a little bit more gruff. Or the other way around. You may have meant to deliver a powerful, strong message, a strident message, but the person's personality that you sent isn't that way, and therefore it won't come out exactly the way you had said it. So the fact that you're sending another person in your stead always means, because we're all human, it always means that the message is not going to be exactly what you meant. With Hashem sending an angel, it's hard to believe that that's part of it, because Hashem can program the angel to give the correct, exact message that's meant to be given. So I don't think that we're going to argue that when an angel gives the message from Hashem, it's not exactly what it was supposed to be. What do you mean what it was supposed to be? Hashem knows what he's delivering, and the angel is doing exactly what Hashem wants. But let's try to deal with a human being sending a human being. You send an agent to speak to me, and let's, for argument's sake, say that agent is an exact clone of you. It's exactly the same thing. The person looks like you, speaks like you, and is able to memorize and say exactly the words that you want that agent to say, with the same tone of voice, with the same mannerisms, the same body language, everything exactly the same. So now, is there a difference whether you come to speak to me or you send an agent that is your twin, that is your clone, that is doing exactly what you would have done is there a difference?
Yes. Well,
what's the difference?
Well, because they might say what you had told them, what I told them to say at first, but then you are going to respond.
Okay. So you're saying that they don't. Okay. Okay. So you're saying in my response. Okay. Let's say either there is no response, or the person is so well versed in what you want that they're able to respond exactly the way you would want them to.
The relationship is different. The relationship is a direct message.
Okay.
You have an intermediary.
When you send somebody else, a human being, to say what you say to an individual, it doesn't come out the emphasis.
Okay. All right. So that's true. That's true. I'm asking, what if it did? I'm still saying there still is a difference. And Mrs. Stockman just said, yeah, what do you want to say?
Well, actually, I'm just agreeing that there's definitely a difference. There's definitely a difference.
Mrs. Stockman just said that the difference is because if you want to speak to me, you can show me respect, honor, love by coming directly to speak to me. When you send an agent, the message you are sending to me is that I'm not important enough for you to come to me directly, or you're too busy to come to me directly, or there's other things going on, and for whatever you can't make the time to come to me directly. It's not that I'm not important at all, because after all, you did send someone to communicate to me what you want to communicate, so it's not like I'm irrelevant to you. I am important to you, but I'm not as important to you as if you would come yourself and speak to me. There is a message of distance. Even if what the agent says to me is exactly what you would have said, with the exact tone and intonation, everything the same, nevertheless, there still is a message of distance. And that message is one that informs our relationship. It's you're saying that I don't have the kind of relationship with you that would get me to get out of my wherever I am and come to you. Now, Hashem is not limited in that way. Hashem can do everything at once. So there is no limitations like that. But from a human perspective, sending an agent is a way of saying that there is distance. So even if there is no difference at all in the angel doing it or in Hashem doing it, if that were true, we're going to show there really are differences. But even if there was no practical difference between Hashem doing the action or giving the message or the angel doing the action or giving the message, even if it was exactly the same, still there would be a message of distance. We would get the sense that Hashem loves us, yes, but not as much as if he would have come himself. I think we all understand that the fact that Hashem spoke to Moshe directly not only speaks about Moshe's greatness, but it also speaks about their relationship. The relationship Hashem has with Moshe is different. It's more meaningful, more profound than he has with anybody else, any other human being. Mm-hmm. That's presuming that everything would be done exactly the same way. But we know it's not true that when an angel is sent, there are differences in how the action or experience, right, takes place. There are differences. What's the classic example where Hashem does not send an angel and we take note of it? We make a point of it that he did not send an angel.
It's the night of Pesach.
Okay, right. In the Pesach Seder, we read at the Haggadah that Hashem says, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to go through Egypt that night. I am not an angel. And I'm going to strike down the Egyptians. And I'm going to save the Jewish people. Ani who? Just me. Nobody else. Hashem says, it's going to be me, no angel. So why couldn't it have been an angel? So one message over there is the love that he has for us, the direct relationship he has with us, and the fact that he himself is punishing the Egyptians. You dared to hurt my children? I'm going to myself
punish you. It's not good enough for me to send the executioner to get you. I'm going to be the executioner, says the king. I'm going to hold the noose. I'm not going to appoint anybody else to do it. I want to do it myself. That's a certain conviction and a certain direct closeness that he has to us in punishing them and saving us directly. But more than that, when an angel is sent, then, now, you have to take this word with a grain of salt. I don't mean it exactly the way it's going to sound. Mistakes can happen. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't really mean mistakes can happen, because angels don't make mistakes. Right. Angels do exactly what Hashem tells them to do. But because of the distance between Hashem and what is happening, that he sends an angel to do it, therefore, built in to that shlichus, to that event, to whatever's happening, is the potential for error. What I mean to say is, not that the angel didn't figure out what to do. Oh, what am I supposed to do now? I can't remember. And the angel pulls out a cell phone to call God, and the cell phone doesn't work. You know, so he's in a bad zone. So he doesn't know what to do, so he makes a mistake. I don't mean that. The angel knows exactly what to do. But built in, Hashem builds it in, it's programmed into the angel, is the ability to not do things exactly right, which of course depends on the human interaction. Mm-hmm. That if the human beings who are involved do something that is this way or that way or slightly this or that, that can cause that it will not be exactly right. Whereas if Hashem is doing it directly, every nuanced change that happens because the human beings make certain decisions will be dealt with and factored in by Hashem. If Hashem is there on the scene, then he is going to factor in every little nuance. What I mean to say is this. Again, you have to be very careful over here. I don't mean to say that the angel is making a mistake or unable to read the situation. What I mean to say is that Hashem is Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo. Hashem is perfectly fair. Perfectly fair. Absolutely perfectly fair. There is no degree, not even a hair's breadth, that Hashem's judgment is off. It is perfect. We don't necessarily see the perfection, but we know it is perfect. When Hashem is quote-unquote on the scene, then it's in real time. That perfection is happening as the action is happening. It's absolutely perfect. The Egyptian, let's take it, the Red Sea, we talked about this. The Egyptian who cut off the hand of a Jew, then when he was being slammed into the water, the chariot sliced his hand off. Exactly the way he sliced off the hand of the Jew, that's what happened to the Egyptian's hand. Exactly.
Maybe his head too.
But exactly what he was supposed, everything was nuanced, perfectly meted out. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. If it's done with an angel, there's still going to be perfection eventually, but not necessarily in real time, not necessarily at that moment. If the angel would have carried out the destruction of the Egyptians at the Red Sea, they would have been punished, they would have been killed, they would have been battered, the worse ones would have gotten it worse, the better ones would have gotten it better, they wouldn't have had it would have been gradations, but it wouldn't have been exactly right. That would have been left for the world to come, and that, you know, after they die, Hashem will take care of them. There would have been nuanced things that wouldn't have necessarily happened perfectly, because it's an angel. It's not Hashem. Not that Hashem is incapable of programming the angel to do it perfectly right. He could have made the angel do it perfectly right, but that's what Hashem is doing. He is deliberately creating this distance and having it done in a more, quote-unquote, human way, in a less godly way. God is perfect. Therefore, when God is directly involved, everything is perfect. When God is not directly involved, everything will eventually be perfect, but not necessarily at the moment. We, who are living in a time of the greatest distance from Hashem that any of our ancestors since they got out of Egypt ever experienced, we are more distant from Hashem than anybody has ever been. And that will continue to be true until Mashiach comes. So for us, we see imperfection everywhere we look. Everywhere we look, it's imperfect. This is such an imperfect world. We have so many problems, and we don't seem to... It doesn't seem like things line up the way they should. What do you mean? This person deserves this. This person doesn't seem to happen. There's so much imperfection. And that's because we're distanced from Hashem. And the further that Hashem recedes from the world, or the further that the world recedes from Hashem, the more imperfection we're going to find. An angel is pretty close to Hashem, and therefore it's nearly perfect, but it isn't perfect. There's going to be some imperfections in the event anytime an angel is involved. That's the difference between Hashem doing it directly and an angel doing it. Hashem says, when I do the death of the firstborn, it's not going to be like the other nine plagues. The other nine plagues, did Hashem do them? Of course Hashem did them. But was Moshe involved? Was Aaron involved? There were other things going on over there, and therefore they were not perfect. There was definitely destruction to the Egyptians. The Jews were saved. But it was not 100% perfection. The death of the firstborn, Makas Bechoros, was a perfect plague, to the point that when it's supposed to happen at midnight, at the exact middle of the night, Moshe has to say, not Bachatzos at midnight, he has to say Kachatzos around midnight. The Gemara says, why? Hashem can do it exactly at the right time. So the Gemara says, yes, it's true, Hashem did it exactly at midnight, but Moshe was afraid that the Egyptians would calculate the middle of the night and they'd be off by a little bit. A few seconds here, a few seconds there, they'd be off by a little bit. And they will say, Moshe's a liar. God didn't do it exactly in the middle of the night. And all the commentaries say, so what? What difference? So they're off by a few seconds. Who cares? All the Egyptians are dying. The Jews are saved. Paro's running around like a maniac, like a madman. Where is it, Moshe? Where's Aaron? Get them out of here. Throw them out. Get out of Egypt. Who cares? It's off by a few seconds. But Moshe understood that when Hashem says, I'm doing it directly, there can't be any imperfections. It's got to be exact. Therefore, Moshe couldn't allow for a human being to make a mistake and think that there was an imperfection over here. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Moshe couldn't say exactly midnight for fear that there would be human error in calculating midnight, and therefore a perception that Hashem is not perfect. And that can't be. So he had to say around midnight so that no one would think that Hashem is imperfect. That's with the death of the firstborn. It was a perfect plague. Perfect plague. It was perfect and good for us and perfect and bad for them. But it was a perfect plague. The Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, was a perfect salvation. Perfect. That's why it results in Az Yashir, in that great song of the sea, Ra'asa Shivcha al Hayam, Masha'ro Nevi'im. Even the lowliest maidservant on the sea saw a greater revelation of God than even Yechezkel, even the greatest of the prophets. She saw more, because there was such overt perfection at the sea that you could point and say, there's God. What do you mean, there's God? You can't see God, but you see perfection. And when you see perfection, you're seeing God at work. That's what you're seeing. Because if God's presence were obvious in this world, everything would be perfect. Utopia is another word for God's presence being obvious. That's what it is. That's perfection. The giving of the Torah, was that through an angel, or was that directly by God? It was directly by God. Now, we couldn't handle it, as was mentioned, and therefore we asked Moshe, after the first two of the Ten Commandments, you go get it for us, because we can't take this anymore. But for those first two commandments, everything was perfect, because God was doing it directly. Hashem says over here, I'm going to send an angel. So I'm going to send an angel means that there's going to be an indirect, less direct leading of the Jewish people now. Which means that, first of all, our relationship is such that there's going to be some distance. And second of all, it won't be 100% perfect. It'll be close to perfect. After all, it's an angel. I mean, we're still talking about an angel. We're not talking about a human being. But it's not going to be 100% perfect. We just talked about an example where Hashem did it directly, where He did the death of the firstborn. He did the splitting of the sea. He gave the Torah. All those were very, very direct. What about
before that time in history? Where do we have Hashem doing things directly, and where do we have angels? For example, Avraham Avinu. Avraham is about to slaughter his son by the word of God. Hashem said, slaughter him. He's about to do it. And a voice says, don't do it. Whose voice was it? It was an angel. It was not Hashem. It was an angel. It was indirect. That doesn't mean it wasn't powerful. It doesn't mean it was nearly perfect, but it was not Hashem directly. It was an angel. It was a malach Hashem min hashamayim, an angel from heaven. There's clearly a difference, by the way, if the angel is taking on a human guise or not. If it's an angel in a human guise, then it's going to be even less perfect, because it's even more distant from Hashem. While an angel in the angelic form is closer to Hashem, and therefore it will be more perfect. When Yaakov Avinu, we know we all know this pasuk, this verse. It's people sing it, people say it to their children, Hamalach HaGoel Osi Mikol Ra, the angel that redeems me from all evil. That's what Yaakov says. The angel isn't it Hashem, but Yaakov recognized, yes, it's Hashem, but Hashem is doing it through an angel. He's doing it through an angel. And Yaakov understood this, that it's not perfect, and there is some distance over here. It's great, it's wonderful. Believe me, if we could have angels save us, then we'd be in much better shape than we are now. But it's still not direct, and it's not Hashem. It's not as perfect as if it would be Hashem. Here, Hashem is telling the Jewish people through Moshe that my direct involvement is coming to an end. I was directly involved from the 10th plague until the giving of the Torah, up to and including the giving of the Torah. I was there for the 10th plague, I was there for the splitting of the sea, and I was there for giving of the Torah. But now, I'm going to recede a little bit. Now I'm going to send an angel who is going to lead you. It's not a terrible thing. An angel is a great thing, but it's not me directly. There's going to be some distance, which means that there may be some imperfections over here. It's not going to be as perfect an experience as it might have been. How does that manifest itself? So the verse tells us. What does the verse say? It says in Pasuk Chafal, verse 21, be careful from before him and listen to his voice. Do not rebel against him. For he will not carry your sins, for my name is in him. What do you mean he will not carry our sins? Who is he to carry our sins? Are we sinning to an angel, or are we sinning to God? When we sin, God forbid, even in our day and age where we're so distant from God, who are we rebelling against when we sin? When we make a conscious decision to not follow what God told us, who are we rebelling against?
Hashem.
Hashem, not against his angels.
Right.
We're not rebelling against the angels, we're rebelling against Hashem. So what does this mean? That be careful, listen to his voice, because he will not carry your sins. He's not the one who carries our sins. Either Hashem does or doesn't. We hope he does. We hope he'll carry them and forgive us. But if he doesn't, it's Hashem who's not carrying our sins, not the angel. But the answer is the same idea. The angel is not going to be equipped with that fine-tuned gauge, that fine-tuned measuring stick to know which sins are worse, which sins are better. This person who sinned, well, maybe they were having a bad day. Maybe they weren't feeling so great. Maybe all of the literally billions of variables that Hashem is constantly calibrating and taking into account. When we go upstairs after 120 years and we stand before God, which is a terrifying experience, but Hashem is Hashem, and therefore that judgment is perfect, and he will take into account every nuance of who we are, where we came from, what influences were going on in our lives, our environment, our feelings, our family, our friends. Everything will be taken into account in that final judgment for each one and every one of us. That's because it's the perfect judge who's making the judgment, and therefore the judgment will be perfect. Because Hashem is sending an angel, Hashem is saying,
I just want you to understand, this angel isn't perfect. He's close to perfect, but he's not perfect. Therefore, you have to understand that the nuances that you would hope to be taken into account by me are not going to be taken into account by this angel. The angel, when there is a sin or a rebellion, he will react because he's programmed to react, and he's not programmed to pick up all the tiny little nuances. That's also why the Gemara tells us that the angel of death, the Malach HaMavis, when there is a plague, God forbid, why is there a plague? A plague is generally, of course, I'm not casting any judgments on sicknesses for today. I'm talking about when an official plague happens in Tanakh, in Scripture. So it happens because of sin. There was a plague in the time of King David because of sin. There are other times that there were plagues, and they were because of sins. But nevertheless, it wasn't only the sinners who died. There were some people who didn't sin who also died. Because since it's an angel who's doing it, the angel isn't given that yardstick to say, this person will get it and this person won't. The angel is told, okay, you need to exact punishment. And therefore, it's a wide group of people. Most of them are sinners. Boom, they get killed. But there are some who are swept up who aren't sinners. Is that unfair? Yes. Does that mean that that lack of fairness will be forever? No, because after they die, Hashem will make things right in His judgment of those people. And the ones who were killed when they shouldn't have been killed, well, they will therefore have greater reward in the world to come. Or their children will be given greater merit in this world. Whatever it is, it will even out. But at the moment of the plague, there is some imperfection going on because it's an angel, not Hashem. That's what is the message Hashem is sending over here. You should understand that you need to be careful with this angel, more careful than with me, which is a funny thing. What do you mean? If you're dealing directly with Hashem, don't you have to be absolutely perfectly careful? Yes, you do. But the angel is going to be less able to make nuanced decisions and differences. Therefore, you have to be a little bit more careful with the angel and be careful not to rebel, because he will not carry your sins, for my name is within him. He is going to stand up for me. He's going to say, people have to respect and honor God and God's word, and those who don't are going to have to be punished. And that's going to be his general MO, and you need to be careful with him. But then he says, if you listen to him, Pasuk Chaf Beis 22, if you do listen to him, and you do all that I say. Now that's not a contradiction at all. Listening to the angel is doing all that I say, because the angel is only there to make sure you do what I say, or to react to the fact that you're doing what I say. But if you do what I say, then all these good things are going to happen. I will be an enemy to those who are your enemy. I will pain those who pain you. My angel will go before you, bring you to the land, and then, of course, be careful once you get to that land. Do not succumb to their behavior. Be very careful not to bow to their gods, etc., etc., etc. Just as the angel will be imperfect in his punishment, the angel also has the capacity to be imperfect in his reward. That there can be, once the people have merited that there's going to be good things, the angel will just do it. And just because there's some nuanced differences over here, the angel won't pick up on those nuanced differences because he's not programmed to pick up on them. Is it better to be led directly by Hashem or by an angel? If we could choose one or the other, which one would we prefer?
Hashem.
Why do we prefer Hashem?
He has rachamim for his children.
Well,
he's perfect.
And if we listen to him, then we'll be perfect.
Okay. We want Hashem directly, first of all, because we want that relationship. We want to have a direct, loving, beautiful relationship with our Creator. That's why we were created. We were created in order to earn that beautiful, wonderful relationship. That's all we want. That's bliss, to have a loving, close relationship with Hashem. And that's what we want. We also, as human beings, want fairness. People are very resentful when things don't seem fair. It's not just children. We adults, when things don't seem fair, we are very resentful. And when it seems like a person is treating us unfairly, we are extremely resentful. We want things to be 100% fair. And we're willing to accept a little patch when we know we deserve it. We may not like the patch, it may hurt, but when we are convinced that we deserve it, we accept it. When we feel we don't deserve it, we are very bitter and very resentful. We prefer Hashem leading us directly because then everything is perfect in real time. We don't have to rely on the next world evening things out or the future evening things out. We can say, right now, things are exactly the way they should be. And that's what human beings crave. We crave that perfection because ultimately we crave truth. Perfection is truth. And fairness is truth. And we crave that. We crave as human beings. Hashem created us in that way. We want emes. Our yetzer hara, our evil inclination, tries to get us to look for sheker, for falsehood. But we really, at our core, we want truth. We want the real thing. And that's Hashem. That's what we prefer. But Hashem is saying over here that now it's going to revert back to there being an angel. Is this a punishment? Meaning, did the Jews do something wrong that now they're getting an angel rather than Hashem? We weren't told of anything. It just seems to go straight into it. We were told a bunch of laws since the beginning of Mishpatim. He finishes up all these laws. By the way, now that you have the Torah, we're going to move to an angelic leading of the Jewish people rather than a direct God leading of the Jewish people. God leading. I don't mean a God. I mean that God is the one leading the Jewish people. It doesn't seem like this is a reaction to something the Jews did. It seems like this was God's plan. That from the 10th plague till and including the giving of the Torah, that will be directly from Hashem. From that point on, we're going to go back to a more normal, quote-unquote, existence, which is through the indirect leading of an angel. That's what it appears to be. We are going to find, when we get there, we're only in Mishpatim, we still have the next parashas, Teruma, and then Tetzaveh. Those are the two parashas with the construction of the commandment to construct the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and the special clothing for Aaron, and all of that. Then we're going to move to Kisisa. And in Kisisa, we're going to find the terrible sin of the golden calf. The Egel Hazav, that takes place in Parshas Kisisa. But that, of course, takes place at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, when Moshe goes up and doesn't come down as fast enough, and that happens. As a result of that, we will find that Hashem is going to say that an angel is going to lead the Jews, not Hashem directly. That's what Hashem is going to say to Moshe. Is that the same point over here? Is that the same threat, quote-unquote, as over here? Here Hashem says an angel is going to lead you, and over there it seems like as a result of the sin of the golden calf, then an angel is going to lead you. It's unclear whether it's the exact same thing, like this is just a harbinger of that, that Hashem is saying there's going to be a sin for which I'm going to have to send an angel now instead of me directly, or whether that's a different angel. This was one angel, and Hashem says we're going to even downgrade it to some other angel. Whatever it is, we'll tackle that, please God, when we get there. Moshe's reaction to God's statement over there is going to be, no, thank you. That's going to be Moshe's reaction.
Good lawyer.
Moshe's reaction is going to be, we're not interested. If you prefer to send an angel, then just do away with us. Don't bother. We're not interested. We want a direct relationship with you. We want you involved with us. We don't want the angel. That's what Moshe is going to argue. And Hashem is going to agree. So that in the end, that threat of an angel will be rescinded. Now, it doesn't mean that Hashem is directly leading us all the time. We know that now we're very distant from Hashem. But even way before this, when Joshua gets into Israel and they are laying siege to the first city, what's the first city?
Jericho.
Jericho. he meets an angel. And the angel says, I am the general of God. He sent me to lead the war for you guys. That's what the angel says to Yehoshua. Clearly over there, it's not direct anymore. It's through an angel. But there is a negotiation that Moshe goes through in Parashas Kisisa to not have an angel, at least for that time. So when we get there, we're going to have to refer back to here and try to figure out, was there an angel sent? Wasn't there an angel sent? How long was there an angel sent for? How long did Hashem do it directly? When did things change? So we're going to have to deal with that when we get to Parashas Kisisa. All we need to know right now is that there is a clear difference between Hashem doing it and an angel doing it. We prefer that Hashem does it. We prefer that Hashem does it. But the Hashem says over here, there's going to be an angel. Whether that actually ended up happening or not, we'll try to tackle that when we get to Parashas Kisisa. But we should be aware that throughout history, there were times when we were led directly by Hashem, and times that it was an angel. And now we sort of understand the difference between the two. It's obviously much deeper, and there's a lot we can't understand. But at least we have some idea. Yeah.
So in the beginning, when God created, and He spoke to Adam and Hava and said, "Don't eat from the tree."
Right. Right.
So that was God speaking to them
directly. Yeah, there were angels, but it was not through an angel that he did.
So, but obviously they didn't listen.
Right.
So.
So then the question is: after that, what happens? We know that in the 10 generations from Adam until Noah, there are a few great people who live.
No, but I'm just talking about Adam.
I mean, how could he reject?
How could they not listen?
If Hashem was direct.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. That's a good question. Yes, but Dottie's asking how could there be free will? We just pointed out that at Har Sinai, that some of the commentaries learned, there just couldn't be free will because we were so overwhelmed by Hashem. So it seems that two things. It seems, first of all, that Adam was on a different plane of existence than Adam and Chava were a completely different. They were human, but their experience was completely different than ours. And the nuance of listening or not listening was much more subtle than for us. Even though it appears like it was just eat or don't eat. But it seems that there was a much more subtle thing going on over there. But the other thing is that even with Hashem speaking directly, it doesn't necessarily mean that he was... No, let me take a step back. Prior to the first sin, this world looked and felt different. Right now, this world looks and feels like a very materialistic, physical place. We know there's spirituality, but you got to dig deep to find it. You got to really feel it. It's not something you can reach out and touch. It's not something you can see. Everything around us is physical and material. Before the sin, the world didn't look this way. It's not something that we can describe because we've never seen it. But the world was a world where there was a complete and perfect balance between spiritual and physical. And just like you can experience physicality as a real feeling right now, you feel hungry, you feel pain, you feel all kinds of physical emotions and feelings. Before the sin, you could also experience, I don't want to say feel, but you could experience spirituality just as real as you could experience physicality. It was here. It was there. It was in that way. So in that manner, Adam and Chava were in a different plane of existence than we are. Because for them, it was not something they had to believe. They actually could feel and know spirituality. It wasn't a matter of belief. It wasn't something of, well, you have to believe there's a God. No. It was obvious. So in that world, what you're asking, which is a very good question, once you know, not just believe, but you know that there's a God, how could you possibly reject that God? How is it possible? So it would therefore appear that, first of all, Hashem wanted to give them a test. So he did allow for it to happen. But it appears that that's where the snake comes into play. The Nachash. That the purpose and job of the snake was to somehow act as a counterbalance to the obvious presence of Hashem. That the snake could, in his wily ways, try to get first Chava and then Adam to reject Hashem even as they are 100% cognizant of his existence. Which should seem impossible. But that's his job. And he did it. It worked. So
His job, but Hashem gives
the animals their job. He gave him the job. He gave the snake the job because there had to be a test. And this was it.
Why did they have to be a test?
Yes, I know. There had to be a test. There had to be a test. This goes back to the whole point of creation. But there had to be a test in order for us to earn our place rather than it being handed to us, which is a whole discussion of itself.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.